Good morning, church. Welcome to our first service on this beautiful Sunday morning. Chad touched on two of these. I'm going to reiterate them. Please check in on your church center app. If you haven't downloaded it, please do so. And here's my request. Put your picture on there. It helps us to put faces and names together. So you're not that bad looking. So go ahead and do it. Snap your picture, put it on there. Second is, if you have not already, I saw some people carrying inboxes. I challenge every person to make a shoebox. You can do this. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing that'll extend who knows where around the world. So you have this week. The collection center opens tomorrow, run through next weekend. And please do a shoebox. And finally, I told you last week, next Sunday, we're going to take a special Thanksgiving offering. And I want to tell you how we're going to do that and why. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were called by God to bring an offering. And we're going to build a stone altar right here on the front. And the idea is, I want us to think back of the origins of our faith. When Israel would bring, they couldn't even use a metal object. They couldn't cut the stones. They had to be uncut stones to build the altar. So we're going to bring these uncut stones and put them here so that we would go back to our origins when the God of heaven gives us an opportunity to bring a Thanksgiving offering to him. So I challenge the church, look back at 2025 and see what God has done for you. And then bring, let's plan, and I'll do it too. Let's plan that we will bring a Thanksgiving offering above and beyond anything that we normally do in proportion to what he has done for us this last year. We will give him a special offering next Sunday morning. And how we'll do that is we'll open up the floor. People will actually come. We'll just have a quiet time and people can bring an offering to the altar of God. So that we never forget, never, never, never forget what he has done for us. And what a novel idea that on Thanksgiving week, we give him thanks. So today, I want to talk about a double portion. This is part one. Please make sure you're here next week to hear part two. I want to talk about an Old Testament character named Elisha. Elisha has its origin, he's a farmer. And he's the guy who is plowing with the 12th team of oxen. I want you to think about that for a moment. 12 teams of oxen are plowing in a field. Must be a big field, a lot of people, at least 12 people. He's the 12th pair of oxen. Interesting, the Bible puts that in there. So you got Elisha, he's plowing with the 12th pair of oxen, and Elijah, don't get the guys mixed up, they're totally different. Elijah, the prophet of God, comes up to Elisha, the farmer, while he's plowing with the 12th group of oxen, and he throws his mantle on him, his cloak upon him. It's like, tag, you're it. You're going to be my replacement as the prophet of God. Don't get the names mixed up. 1 Kings 19:19. So Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak, his mantle, across his shoulders, and then he walks away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." And Elijah replied, "Go on back and think about what I have done to you." Elisha did go back, and he did think about it. He thought about this calling of God. Do you understand what happened? Everybody knew Elijah. So it's not like Elijah didn't know who this guy is walking up pitching his cloak on me. Everybody knows Elijah. He's famous. He's the man of God. So Elisha, he goes back, he thinks about the calling of God, and he kills the two oxen, and he fed the townspeople ribeyes, I suppose, and he left his home to follow the prophet Elijah as his trainee, as his apprentice, as the replacement to the prophet Elijah, the man of God. The Bible doesn't tell us how long Elisha served under Elijah. We can estimate it was several years. Some people even say maybe up to 10 years, but we don't know for sure. We don't know much about the middle years, but we do know about how the end of their time comes, Elisha and Elijah. So years go by. We don't hear from Elisha again until 2 Kings chapter 2. And I want you to notice what's about to happen. So this is, there's a big gap. Since he throws the cloak around him, there's a gap. We don't know all of it, but listen to this part. 2 Kings 2:1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. This is a pretty big deal, okay? When the Lord's about to come get Elijah, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So Elijah's told him, "Stay here." And he said, I'm going with you. So they went down to Bethel, together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" Let me do it like this. Did you know the Lord's going to take your master away from you today? That's how I read it anyway. I've got a vivid imagination. And listen to his answer. "Of course I know. But be quiet about it." What do you think that means? He's upset. He's upset. He doesn't want him to go. What do you think it means? Be quiet about it. I think it's painful for Elisha to think about the fact that he's leaving. He's leaving me. Elisha is about to lose his mentor. He's about to lose his friend. A whirlwind is coming to get Elijah, and they know it. Elijah knows it. Elisha knows it. These hanging out prophets, they know it. He's coming to get him. This is when the story gets interesting, and this is when the story creates today's message, a double portion. God leads Elijah and Elisha to the banks of the Jordan River, and something supernatural occurs. Verse 8. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water, the Jordan River, with it. And the river divided, and the two of them, Elijah and Elisha, went across the Jordan River on dry ground. And when they came to the other side, here it comes. Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share or a double portion of your spirit and become your successor." The Jordan River stopped. That was a supernatural power of God given to Elijah. And these two men, they walk across on dry ground. Do you realize this same thing happened some 500 years earlier when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land for the very first time? Same thing happened. The Jordan River stopped and they walked across on dry ground 500 years before. This time it's two men crossing the Jordan, not 2 million. And Elijah knows that he's about to depart from this earth and he wants to do something special for his friend, for his apprentice. And Elisha asks for a double portion of the spirit that has rested upon Elijah. I guess he could have asked for anything, but that's what he asked for. I want a double portion of what's on you. Elisha hasn't asked for a small thing, but a very difficult and powerful thing. Verse 10. You have asked a very difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, if you don't see me when the chariot gets here, you won't. Let me ask you something when you read that. Do you think he's going to be able to shake Elisha from that point on? He's not going to shake him, is he? He's already said, I'm not going to separate from you. Now I'm really not going to separate from you because I want to see and get this blessing. I don't have time to get into the details of the next part, but I can tell you that Elisha saw God come and get Elijah. So Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's spirit because he saw it, that confirmed it, that God was going to give it, and he saw it and he got it. There have been many people smarter than me talk about what did it mean to get a double portion of Elijah's spirit. So let's just throw that out. A lot of people smarter than I have talked about and thought about and discussed. What is a double portion of Elijah's spirit? Now listen, I'm a simple guy and I want to look to see this. And because I'm simple, I asked a question. What happened to Elisha twice that only happened to Elijah once? I'm not saying this will fully describe the double portion, but it does describe what happened to Elisha after Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind without dying. He never saw death. There are many big and amazing things that happened to Elijah before he was taken up to heaven. Listen, my goal today, and when I was doing this study originally, I wanted to see what happened to Elijah twice that only happened to Elisha twice that only happened to Elijah once. If that's the double portion, then what was it? So I went back and started looking at Elijah. And I want to see what happened to him. There was the showdown at Mount Carmel with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. That's big. Elijah stopped the rain from falling on the earth for 3.5 years. That's big. He also stopped the Jordan River. We just read that, and that's big. They are all big, and they're all supernatural. They are all beyond the power of any human to do. But there's one that I count larger than the others in the story of Elijah. If I'm going to figure out what the double portion of Elisha is, I need to see what the single portion of Elijah did. And there's one that stands out above all of them. And I wonder right now how many of you can already think of which one it is. There's one that I count larger than the others in Elijah's life. I'm looking for the single portion of Elijah, that was doubled by Elisha. This is big. Elijah raised the widow's son from the dead during that deadly drought. What I'm about to read to you is right after Elijah moves in with a starving widow woman of Zarephath and her son. Then here's the underlying thing a lot of people will miss. They are Gentiles. Elijah's Jewish. And Elijah has prayed for no more rain, and now everybody's dying because of the famine. And he moves into a Gentile woman's house. What's unusual about that? Jews don't go into Gentile houses. He makes them unclean. But he does because God says to. And when he does, he makes her oil and flour supplies supernaturally flow. But that's a miracle, but that's not the miracle I'm talking about. 1 Kings 17:17. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. And then she, the Gentile widow woman of Zarephath, she said to Elijah, "Oh, man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?" But Elijah replied, "Give me your son." And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. So that he takes upstairs the dead body of this Gentile woman's son, lays him on his bed, and then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die?" And he stretched himself. I want you to visualize this as I read it. Elijah stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him." Now stop in the story. If you read the Bible, there is no resurrection of the dead in the Bible before this moment. Zero. This is the first one. So if you want to know, is this big? This is big. He's asking God to do what has never been done that is recorded. Let this child raise from the dead. Verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he was revived. And then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. "Look," he said, "your son is alive." Now listen, this is big. This is bigger than calling down fire from heaven. There is no resurrection recorded in the Bible before this. This is big. This is bigger than killing the 850 prophets on Mount Carmel. This is big. This is bigger than stopping rain, bigger than making olive oil and flour flow without him. This is big. Why? This is big because this is life. This is life. And nobody can give life except God, and God doesn't hand that out to people usually. And this is big. This is life. This is the resurrection of the dead. And God heard Elijah's prayer, and he raised this boy from the dead. If that could be part of the single portion of the Lord's Spirit, are you with me? I'm trying to see what could get doubled with Elisha. If that's a single portion of the Lord's Spirit, what would a double portion look like to Elisha? Anyone guess at this point? Some of you are trying to guess. So let me ask you a question. Did Elisha raise anyone from the dead after Elijah was taken up to heaven? Yes, he did. And it was very similar to the event with Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Except this time it was Elisha and the Shunammite woman's son. Elisha will raise this boy from the dead like Elijah. And by the way, in this case of Elijah, the widow woman and her son, they survived because Elijah stopped at their house. And they were Gentiles. Elijah keeps them from starving. The boy dies, but you got Elijah rescuing the son of a Gentile woman. In the case of Elisha, the guy who gets the double portion, it's a Jewish woman. And her son dies. She's barren. She has a child supernaturally. And Elisha prayed for the Lord to give her a son. He does. And both of these stories begin with the favor of God upon two women. Here's what's interesting. One of them is Jewish. One of them is a Gentile. I'm looking for a double portion, okay? Elijah was living with the widow of Zarephath, and Elisha stayed with the Shunammite woman when he was in that area. She had given him a room upstairs. Elijah and the Gentile woman and her son on one end, single portion, and Elisha and the Jewish woman and her son on the other end, a double portion. What is it? I'm looking for a double portion. What would a double portion look like? 2 Kings 4:18. One day, we're in Elisha's story now, okay? Elijah's gone. One day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters, and suddenly, this is the boy, suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servants took him home to his mother, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, the boy dies. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. His name's Elisha. Sounds a whole lot like Elijah. Carries him, puts him on Elisha's bed, and then shuts the door, and she leaves his dead body there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God, Elisha, and come right back." She doesn't even tell him that your son's dead. Elijah had the Spirit of God upon him, and he raised the widow's son from the dead years before. Would Elisha be able to raise the dead, and what would a double portion of Elijah's spirit look like? Don't get ahead of me. Verse 32. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him, and he prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. I want you to visualize that. It's a lot of similarities to what his successor did, his predecessor, excuse me. And he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, "Call the child's mother," he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, "Here, take your son." And she fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. One child, let's look at the story. One child was a Gentile. That's the story of Elijah. The boy was a Gentile. One child is Jewish. It's the story of Elisha. Both are raised from the dead by a man who was covered by the mantle of God, the calling of God. This is the first and the second time in the Bible that there's a resurrection of the dead. One is a Gentile, one is Jewish. You could read these stories and conclude that Elisha, this is the point, you could read this story and conclude that Elisha received a single portion of Elijah's spirit. He matched him. He did the same thing. But what about the double portion? What could that mean, and what would that mean for us today? Elijah is only recorded to have raised one person from the dead. One. It's not like that's a small thing. One. Elisha raised 2 people from the dead. Did you know that? And I'm looking around to see how many of you know that. Elisha raised two people from the dead. Could that be the double portion? Sometime later in the story, I love this part, by the way, Elisha died. I don't love the part Elisha died, okay? But sometime later, Elisha died. He didn't get a chariot ride into heaven like Elijah. Elisha died, as far as we know, a natural death, and he was buried, and something happened. Some of you know what it is, and you're grinning right now, and some of you don't, and you're curious right now. Listen carefully. The Bible tells us that Elisha became ill, and King Jehoash, the king of Israel, came and visited him in the last days of his illness, and then Elisha, the one who had the double portion of the spirit of Elijah, he dies. Naturally, we assume naturally. Elisha died and he was buried, but what about the double portion? Oh, you gotta love this part. And I even like it because a lot of you haven't figured it out yet. Verse 20. Then Elisha died and was buried. And groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. And once when some Israelites were burying a man, Jews, Israelites are burying a Jew, they spied the band of Moabite raiders, so they hastily threw the corpse of the Jewish man into the tomb of Elisha, he's dead man bones, and they ran, because here comes the Moabite raiders. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man came to life. Whoa. The dead man revived and jumped to his feet. I cry out double portion. Elijah 1, Elisha 2. Is that the wildest thing you've ever heard of? Can you imagine being the preacher at that funeral? I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying that this specifically defines the double portion of Elijah upon Elisha. I only use this illustration to illustrate what I want to reveal next to you today. Whatever was upon Elijah, whatever it was that was upon Elijah, caused the widow's son to rise from the dead. Whatever was upon Elisha caused the Shunammite woman's son to rise from the dead. Whatever it is, single or double, it causes people to rise from the dead. One was a Gentile, the other's a Jew. Coincidence? I doubt it. What was the double portion? Are you ready? This is big. And I ask the question, do you have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church? In all seven churches of Revelation, Jesus asked the same question. To him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Do you have ears to hear today? I hope you're listening. The power of God upon Elisha. The power of God upon Elisha didn't die with Elisha. It didn't die when he died. Elisha was raising people from the dead after he died. And I picked this scene very carefully. Elisha was raising people from the dead after he died, which would describe why I give this picture for this sermon. Do you have ears to hear? Do you see it? Some of you do, some of you still don't. There is a resurrection power. I like to call it a double portion spirit. There is a resurrection power that doesn't die when the body dies. Elisha proved that. His dead bones still had power. There's a resurrection power, a double portion spirit that doesn't come with an expiration date. A man who has died, Elisha, has the power to raise the dead. Can you see it? Anybody see it? A man who has died, his name is Jesus, has the power to raise the dead. Can you see it now? All you had to do was touch the one who had the double portion spirit. All you had to do, there's a dead man, they're going to bury next to a dead man Elisha's bones. And all the dead man had to do was touch the bones of the man with a double portion spirit, and he's back living again. Do you see it? In the case of Elisha, it required a physical touch. The first time and the second time. Elisha laid on top of that boy. It required a physical touch for the power to go through Elisha, this double portion power to go into that boy and give him life. It required a physical touch in the graveyard when the man's corpse was thrown on the bones of Elisha and he comes to life. In the case of Elisha, the double portion spirit required a touch. But in the case of Jesus, it's not a touch. You ready? You have to hear it. You have to hear the voice and believe it. It's not a physical touch now that raises the dead. You have to hear his voice. Stay with me. I told you 7 times in Revelation, Jesus says to the church, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Do you have ears to hear? Did you hear? Here's my conclusion. Listen carefully. This is the summary and conclusion. All of that background is to get to the main teaching point right now. I want you to hear the voice of the Son of God right now. And some of you right now, you're kind of cynical by hearing that statement. What do you mean, going to hear the voice of Jesus right now? No, I'm being really serious. I'm being really serious. I want you to hear the voice of the Son of God right now. And I'm going to make a statement. Listen carefully. He doesn't have a double portion spirit. He doesn't. Have you heard his voice? Can you hear his voice today? I'll look around the room and I'll ask you 2 questions. Have you heard him? He who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand what the Spirit says to the church. Have you heard him? Do you want to hear him? I said he doesn't have a double portion spirit. He doesn't. He has the Spirit without limit. Big difference. The difference between Elisha and Jesus is Elisha had a double portion spirit. And that double portion spirit's raising people from the dead. Even after you're dead, he's raising people from the dead. And here comes Jesus, and he doesn't have a double portion spirit. He has a spirit without limit. This is how John the Baptist describes Jesus' spirit some 800 years after the time of Elijah and Elisha. John 3:31. He has come from above. Oh, he's already greater than Elisha and Elijah. He has come from above, and he's greater than anyone else. And we are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things, but he, Jesus, comes from heaven. He's greater than anyone else, and he testifies about what he has seen and heard. But how few believe what he tells them. And anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words. Have you heard him? He's coming from heaven to talk to you. He speaks God's words. Some of you give me that look, so let me do this. He speaks God's words. For God gives him the Spirit without limit. Not a double portion. All of it. Unlimited, infinite Spirit power. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. There's the resurrection. And anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. Today, you don't have to settle for a double portion story. As awesome as the story of Elisha is, you don't have to settle for a double portion story. Jesus has the Spirit without limit. Jesus is greater than Elijah. In fact, let me say this. Jesus is the one who came in the chariot to get Elijah. And Jesus is greater than Elisha because he has the Spirit without any limit. Elisha, you saw what he did. It's amazing. He had a double portion of Elijah's Spirit. But Jesus has no limit. Like Elisha, listen carefully. Like Elisha, Jesus died. And like Elisha, Jesus was buried. And like Elisha, Jesus can raise the dead after his own death. But we don't have to touch Jesus. You had to touch Elisha, but you don't have to touch Jesus. However, we must hear his voice and believe him. So I'll ask you one more time. Have you heard his voice? Do you believe him? Or are you today interested in hearing his voice so that you might believe him? His voice is the Word of God. And we must hear the voice of the Son of God and believe him to have eternal life. It can't be that simple, preacher. Oh, yes, it can be. We must hear, his voice is the Word of God, and we must hear and believe that word to have eternal life, to never die again. That guy came to life when he fell upon the dead bones of Elisha. Listen carefully. When they threw that guy's body in a hurry-up funeral, when his body touched the bones of Elisha, he came to life again, right? And he later had to die again. He eventually died again. He got two funerals. But Jesus' resurrection power is eternal. Never to die again. Listen carefully to these words I'm about to read. The voice, I'm about to read to you literally the voice of the Son of God. Can you hear? You can come to church your whole life and not hear. I'm going to read to you the voice of the Son of God, the Word of God, the one who has the Spirit without limit, calling out to you and I today, and I'm just simply saying, do you believe him? John 5:24. I tell you the truth. If I had a longer arm, I'd use it. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe. Can you hear? Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. And they will never be condemned for their sins. But they have already, are you ready? They have already passed from death to life. Already. When you hear the voice of God's Son, the Word, and receive that Word by faith, you have already crossed over from death to life. You have already come out of the grave, and I proclaim to you today, this is bigger than a double portion. We're not waiting for eternal life. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're not waiting for eternal life. We already have eternal life. We're just waiting for a new resurrected body to put it in. We're waiting for the resurrection of the last day. I don't know about you, but that's my story. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I have already encountered the Word of God, which is life-giving spirit, and He's already in me. I already have the resurrection. I'm waiting for the body to put it in. Listen carefully to this next part. John 3:36. This is sobering. This is life and death. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. That's it. And anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. You're in, everyone today, you're in one of those categories. Not both, one. The difference between those who escape sin, death, grave, and hell, and those who will never escape, there are two different groups in this next scripture. There's the walking dead and the dead. Can you hear His voice? John 5:25. I'm being literal. Can you hear His voice? I assure you, these are Jesus speaking. I assure you, the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. When the walking dead, I'm going to insert the word walking so you understand who He's talking to. The time is coming, the time's here right now, when the walking dead, that means you're spiritually dead, but you're still standing upright. When the dead will hear my voice, this is real. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the Word of God. When the walking dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. Somebody say hallelujah. You have just experienced the Spirit without limit. The Father has life in Himself, and He's granted that same life-giving power to His Son. And He has given Him authority to judge everyone because He is the Son of Man. And don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming. Now we're not going to talk about the walking dead. Now we're going to talk about the dead, those in the graves, okay? Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in the graves will hear the voice of God's Son. Everybody's going to hear Him eventually. And they will rise again. And those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. And those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand what the Spirit says to the church today. Anybody listening? You see, to the Gentiles, when I look at this Elijah, Elisha story, when I look at Jesus and this whole gospel, to the Gentiles, listen, to the Gentiles, it's interesting, Elijah was sent to the Gentiles to heal the woman's son who's Gentile. He wasn't even supposed to be in his house. Gentiles don't need an Elijah today to raise you from the dead. You need the one who has the Spirit without limit. More Gentiles. Elijah can't help you. And to the Jews, they don't need an Elisha to raise them from the dead. They need the Spirit without limit. The Jews and the Gentiles need the same person. His name's Jesus. Interesting to me that Elijah and Elisha, it is the first and the second resurrection in the Bible. One Jew, one Gentile. Jews and Gentiles now have one Savior, one Lord. And all, listen to me, all who hear his voice will rise from the dead and receive eternal life in his name. But does everyone receive this resurrection? No. You must hear his voice. And I'm asking, one more time, I'm asking, have you heard his voice? Would you like to hear his voice? What's at stake? Verse 36, this is at stake. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. But you would have to hear his voice to believe it. His voice is the word of God. You heard it, you received it, and you believed it to be God speaking to you. You responded appropriately to that voice. And when Jesus says seven times in Revelation, seven times to all seven Revelation churches, he who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand what the Spirit's saying to the church. Are you listening? Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. And anyone who doesn't obey the Son, you reject his voice, you reject his word. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but you remain under God's angry judgment. You're under his wrath. You're under his wrath. His wrath will be poured upon you. Why? Because you wouldn't listen to his Son when he spoke. So here's my closing. Do you want a double portion? Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Listen carefully. When you come to faith in Christ, you are born again of the water and the Spirit. In that moment, you have come to believe, you heard the voice of God's Son. If you didn't hear him, you wouldn't come to him. You heard the Spirit of Christ call your name. If you can't identify with that, you have a major spiritual issue. When you were born again, it was the first of the double portion. Stay with me. He put life in you when you were born again. He put himself in you when you were born again. He put himself in you when you were born again of the Spirit. But there's a second part of the double portion. It's the resurrection of the last day. I told you a few minutes ago that I already have eternal life. I'm just waiting for a new body to put it in. I already have eternal life, but this body's wearing out. The double portion, the second one is what? The resurrection of the last day. Do you understand when Jesus encounters Martha at Lazarus's grave, he reveals both. Both. Maybe you never saw it before. John 11:21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. You know what? She's convinced that there's a red line that Jesus can't cross over. If you'd have got here before he got dead, you could have stopped him from getting dead. But if you're here after you get dead, that's bigger than you. If you'd have been here before my brother died, he would not have died. But I know, listen carefully, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, this is important, stay with me. Jesus says, your brother's going to rise again. Now, I don't know how much Martha knows about eschatology or how much she knows about the resurrection of the last day. But look at what she says. Verse 24, Martha answered, I know he will rise again at the resurrection of the last day. Do you understand? That's a bodily resurrection. But my problem's not in the future. My problem's today because my brother's dead over here, four-day dead over here in the tomb. And Jesus says, he's going to rise again. You see, Jesus got more than a double portion. He can make you rise right now and put his life in you. Understanding that at the last day, he He'll give you a new body to put this soul in. And he has a spirit without limit. And he doesn't have trouble doing it with one or two like Elijah and Elisha. He can do it to countless people. Stay with me. Martha answered, verse 24 again, I know he will rise at the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Now that's to illustrate 4-day dead Lazarus right over here. He's dead, 4-day dead. And I'm going to show you the power to raise the dead in just a minute. But then he says, and whoever lives and believes in me, church, you ready? Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe it? Never die. Which means your outside body might die, but you're not a body. You're not a tent. You're the soul inside that tent. And then he says 4 words. Do you believe this? Do you? I'm looking at the room today. Do you? Jesus then walks over to the tomb of 4-day dead Lazarus, and he spoke a word. Lazarus, come out. I remember listening to a Billy Graham sermon one time not too long ago. Billy Graham said he had to say, Lazarus, come out, or the whole graveyard would have come up. He had to make it singular. Lazarus, only you, the rest of you wait. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son. And they will rise again. And those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. And those who have continued in evil will experience judgment. I'll ask Chad to come out for the invitation. And I'm going to be very pointed with this question. Can you say for sure in your life that you have heard the voice of God's Son? I can. Was it an audible voice? No. I know it's him. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. He called me. He called me. And I said, yes, Lord, I believed him. And he has given me a resurrection. I have been born again. He is living inside of me right now. I'm waiting for the second part of the double portion, which is the resurrection of the last day, in which he will give me a body that will never, ever die. Is that you? Can you say that today? You see, in the story of Elisha, you had to touch Elisha. But in the story of Jesus, you have to hear him. You don't have to touch him, you have to hear him. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and understand right now what the Spirit says to the church. So I asked Chad specifically to sing this song today because it's about dead, it's about dry bones rattling. It's dry bones rattling. Whether you know it or not, you're the guy in the grave when they pitch Elisha. You're the dead man who's going to be thrown into the grave of Elisha. And if you touch him, you come to life. But in our story, we're the dry bones. And we need somebody to touch us. And that touches the word, the voice of God who says, come to me. I'll give you life. So this invitation is very specific. If you today have ears to hear, if you hear the voice of the Son of God calling you, come, then come and receive life. Let's stand.